I want to mention this because it's been on Facebook and on social media. If you haven't checked out the new website, please check out the new website. I spent a lot of man hours updating everything. We have a couple of migrations that we're going to do. And we're also in the work of, as you know, possessing another building. But there's a good chance we might be a mobile church for a couple months because the work on the new building hasn't started yet. And it's going to take a couple of months. But we'll just see where the Lord leads us. Amen. There's a couple places that I'm looking for to do. So one thing I do know, probably within the next 30 days, amen, Elder Vic will be out of here. Amen. So we'll see what God does. But I want to first kind of jump off what Elder Vic said. I think it was amazing that the NFL came together. And if you all saw the ESPN broadcast, the guy who prayed on national TV, that's an awesome thing football is secondary when it comes to someone's life. And so I think it's amazing that they raised over $7 million for his charity in the name of Mr. Hamlin. So we are continuing to pray for him. And trust me, I know what a heart attack feels like. Mine wasn't as severe, but it can happen to any one of us. But I want to come today. The Lord's been really speaking to me about some things. And for us to say we don't have doubt sometimes is a lie. We all doubt. But let's just be honest today. Okay? We all doubt. We all struggle. We all ask ourselves why. Or even when the transition of the ministry and the things that God is doing and changing the name and everything I'm doing, and sometimes it doesn't look like it's going to happen. And we thought the building would be ready before we move, but it's not going to. And God's going to have to take us to a temporary location, but it's okay. And sometimes it's hard not to doubt. Amen? Sometimes it's hard not to see when all you can see is negative. But we have to be reminded that God is still in control. And so today I want to discuss the topic, do you know he can do it? And that's a question. The question is, do you know that he can do it? Now, not that you, see, there's something about, you can say you believe, but do you act on that belief? Come on, somebody. Do you act upon that he actually is going to do it? And you know, we can talk about many scriptures about faith, and we know that without faith, it's impossible to please God, and those who come to God must believe he is a rewarder of those that, and we can talk about all those things. But what I want you to focus on this morning is to learn not to have doubt, even when you're trying to understand the direction God has taken you. Amen? So let's go to the text this morning. Give me the first slide, Vic, and then I'll take it from there. The first text this morning, in John verse 5, verse 1. John chapter 5, verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus had went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the Sheep's Gate a pool which called in Hebrew Bethesda. Someone say Bethesda. I want to remind of this word right here, Bethesda. Having five porches. Now watch this. In these lay a great multitude, watch this church, of what? Keep going. Waiting for the movement of the water. Someone say they're anticipating a move of God. Okay? Now this is a yearly thing at the Pool of Bethesda that when the water would move or the blessing of the Lord would shine down on the Pool of Bethesda, those that were sick, blind, lame, paralyzed, they would have to get near the water and get into the water, watch this church, in order to make me at whole, okay? Can you imagine waiting for once a year for your healing? Can you seriously imagine that? Can you imagine that you get sick on January 1st, but the next time the pool's going to move is January 1st of the following year? So you got a whole year of sickness ahead of you? How many of y'all know God don't work that way? Amen. So these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind people, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the movement of the water. Now watch this. For an angel went down a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water, then whoever stepped in first, after the stirring of the water, was made well, whatever disease he had. Now watch this. Certain time, certain place for certain healing. Come on, somebody. Now watch this. Now a certain man was there and had an infirmity for 38 years. 38 years is a prophetic number because 38 years is about the time they said that's how old Jesus was when he went to the cross. I want you to understand that God puts everything in perspective. He was roughly 38, some say younger, but 33, whatever. But there's a young man is what I'm trying to get at. This was a young man who had been paralyzed, watch this, for all these years. 38 years paralyzed with an infirmity, okay? Now watch this. This is very important to the text. When Jesus saw him lying there because he couldn't walk, he knew that he had already been in that condition a long time. See, once you understand it, what you're going through is not a surprise to Jesus. Come on, somebody. That's a good preaching moment. Well, he already knows your infirmity before you ask for the healing. You don't have to tell God what you need. He knows what you have need of before you ask of it. Believe me, he's in heaven watching every day. Okay? When Jesus saw him lying there, he knew that he had already been in the condition a long time. He said to him, now watch this. I want to focus on this next text. Watch this, guys. Read the text, Elder Ron. Do you, start with there. Read that right there, that text. He asked a simple question. And most of it was asked. He's been in a position for 38 years. Of course he wants to be made whole. Not necessarily because some people get comfortable in their condition. My God, that'll preach. Come on, somebody. Some people get comfortable in being where they're at. Come on, somebody. So if there's no desire to change, the change won't come. That's a good word. Come on, somebody. You have to have the desire and the wanting to change. That's why I'm wanting to change the church. I'm wanting to change direction. See, you have to have a desire. Watch this, church. Do you want to meet? Jesus could heal him right there. But if there's no desire, watch this, no change is coming. Those of you sitting at home this morning, I had a desire to come to church, but I woke up late. Your desire has to change to set the clock. Come on, somebody. Amen? I have a desire to do something. You can desire all day, but if you don't do nothing to change that, it's going to stay the same. Come on, somebody. He asked a question. He said to him, do you want to be made well? What's at the end of that well, Victor, Elder Vic? What's at the end of that well, Victor? Question mark. That is a question that Jesus asks us every day. Do you want a better job? Do you want to make more money? There's nothing wrong with making more money as long as you give what belongs to the Lord. Come on, somebody. You know, we were in this mindset, oh, we're supposed to be poor, broken, disgusted Christians, Eloise. How many of y'all know that our father is a millionaire? I can't get an amen in the church this morning. Our father is richer than Jeff Bezos. Come on. You know why? Because he owns everything. Everything Jeff Bezos owns, he didn't get it without the Lord. Some people say, well, how do you know he's a believer? I don't know if he's a believer or not, but I guarantee it was the Lord that. See, the Bible says that is the Lord that gives you the ability to gain wealth. And if Jeff Bezos didn't have the mind, watch this, or Elon Musk, another billionaire, Mark Cuban, if he didn't give them the mindset to have a business for that, come on, somebody. Whether they recognize, see, what's crazy about this, some people don't recognize God publicly, but when they're privately, I guarantee they'll sit in that 20,000 square foot mansion and say, boy, God is good. May not do it publicly, but I'll guarantee you, somewhere someone recognizes that it is God, because the Bible says it is the Lord that gives you the ability. Notice it says ability to gain wealth. He said to him, so the question is, do you want to be made well? Look at your neighbor and say, do you want? What's your question mark? What's your question mark? In this text, what is your question mark this morning? More money? More free time? What is it? I don't know. So he's saying everything you're asking, everything you want to be made well. Watch this. The sick man answered him, said, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water stirred up." Someone say, here they go with the excuses. Jesus asked a question. Jesus didn't ask him, how are you going to get in there? He asked a simple question. Let's go back because sometimes we forget to break it down. He said to him, to the sick man, "Do you want to be made well?" And of course, the man answered, "Sir." Now here comes the typical Christian or typical church people or typical people who don't believe that in faith. Watch this. "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I'm coming," someone say, "while I'm coming, another steps before me." So this man for 38 years encounters the God that can heal. Come on, somebody. Jesus, someone say, Jesus called him out. Y'all better get this. When Jesus calls you out, you better respond. Come on, somebody. All, can you imagine? The Bible says, watch this, Eloise. The Bible says there was a multitude of sick people. Y'all don't understand what's going on here. There's a multitude of sick people, Bonita. There's lots of sick people, Josh. But Jesus called him out. Come on, somebody. That means it was time and time and time for his healing. Come on, somebody. When Jesus calls you out, he wants to do something for you. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning. Multitude of sick people. Sick people, lame people, blind people, everything. But Jesus was focused on one. And if Jesus is focused on one, will you be that one? The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up. But when I'm coming, another steps down before me." Now watch this. Jesus looked at him and said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." What? He didn't get in the water. See, we get so accustomed to what we think we have to do, we're afraid to step out on what God tells us to do. Come on, somebody. We get so focused on the norm. Come on, somebody. Every single year, the protocol was to wait for the water to be stirred, and everyone was accustomed to the traditions of men, and they were waiting for, and this man had been taught for 38 years that if he can get in when it's stirred to be one of the first people, he would be made whole. But yet, this is going to mess you up. His religious mind and his thinking of the same old thing blinded him to who was standing in front of him. Y'all better get this. His traditions and his way of thinking had blinded him to the one that can heal him. The question I have is, how many of us look at our ways instead of his ways? Come on, somebody. Here the healer is standing right in front of him, the one that can heal him. And Jesus had already been healing people, so they knew who he was. But Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." Look at this. Look at this, church. Jesus said to him, "Rise," someone say, "rise, take up your bed and walk." Someone asked me a question the other day, about a week ago. They said, "Why did we change the name of the church? And why are we getting a new building? And why?" And I looked at them, I said, "I don't know, ask him." I don't have an answer. I know I sat down one night. God gave me this logo. God gave me the scripture. And God said, "This is the direction you're going." He said, "I need you to go this direction." And what's crazy is how he put everything together. I'm not this smart to do all this stuff. If you go to the website looks amazing. I've never been a website creator, developer, nothing. But you know what? God gave me the ability to do it. The website looks amazing. Or our new building is going to look amazing. Come on, somebody. But what we have to understand, watch this. When God wants something, here it is, church. When God wants something, he's going to call you out. And you can do one or two things. You can run from it or be obedient and do what he says. So he looks at him. He says, okay, so you're sick of being crippled for 38 years. You're sick of being sick for 38 years. What are you going to do to change it? Jesus said to him, rise and take up your bed and walk. See, I'm just wondering if someday someone would just tell you something and you just do it by faith. Without complaining and murmuring and trying to figure out. Listen to me. I don't know how we're coming up with all the money to remodel the building. I don't have a clue. We have 7-8 people here this morning. I don't know where it's coming from. I just know he led me to that place. He hooked me up with the guy who's a Christian, who's a strong believer, who's in the process of talking to the owners to try to remodel the building for us. Come on, somebody. I don't know what he's doing, but I know who's doing it. Now watch this. Jesus told him to rise up and walk. Look what he said. Someone saying immediately. I want you to get this, church. Immediately the man was made well and took up what he had been lying on for 38 years. He'd been lying on the bed for 38 years. The thing that was holding him is now the thing he... The thing that was holding him is now the thing that he's carrying. And walked. And that day, someone's saying, that day was the Sabbath. Very specific, important part of the text. The reason why Jesus healed on the Sabbath, because he needed to disregard the traditions of men. Because in the Old Testament, watch this, church, they did not believe in doing anything on the Sabbath. No working, not doing anything but going to church. So for this man to be healed on the Sabbath was a very important day to the text, and I'll show you why. The Bible says, and the day, someone say, and the day, was the Sabbath. The law states that nothing is to be done or nothing can be done on the Sabbath. The pool of Bethesda, or the Bethesda means flowing waters or house of mercy. Means house of mercy or flowing waters. Now watch this. How often do we, what? How often do we do what we can in attempt to mask what we know we cannot do? Ask the question. How often do we what we can do what we can in the attempt to mask what we cannot do? In other words, if you can't do it, then don't do it. But don't act like you know how to do it. If you need God's help, get help from the Lord. Come on, somebody. Put it this way. Don't be somebody that you're not. That's why I don't change. I'm the same way privately as I am publicly. Come on, somebody. Victor, you've been around me for how long? Too long. Okay? Have I changed? Am I still crazy, hyper, at a football game? Okay? That's why I have no tolerance. Look, if you're bad, let me tell you something. When I was bad, I was bad. Because I'm good at being bad. Amen? but you got to learn. Don't listen to me. If you need God's help to change something in your life, then allow him to. Listen to me. If you're bad, then be bad. But get help at being good. Come on, somebody. So don't mask what you know. In other words, don't be somebody public and then go home and be someone totally different. Okay? My son's here this morning. Josh will tell you, I'm loud. I'm hyper. Me and him, do you think me and Josh have this perfect relationship? Heck no. We fight. We get upset with each other. It's the truth. It's family. Yeah. It's no big secret. I want him to get out of my house. Pastor, no, I'm just telling you, he's almost 30 years old. He's got a good job now. Josh is working to get a car and get on his own. Come on, somebody. That's not a secret. But the truth of the matter is, be who you're going to be publicly. And because guess what? God can only help somebody who's real. Because when he is trying to help you and you're acting somewhere different, he goes, I don't know that person. I was going to help you, but I have no idea who you are. Listen to me. We're all fallen somewhere. We all fall short somewhere. So we have to understand that Jesus is telling this man, why are you making an excuse for why you can't be healed? Why are you saying you're waiting on somebody else to heal you? I am the healer. I am that I am. I am the physician. I am the one that can heal you. And he's waiting for somebody to put him in the pool when Jesus is saying, I'm standing right here. How many times has a blessing walked by and you haven't taken advantage of it because you want to know if somebody... No, you got to learn to take your blessing when you can. Come on, somebody. How many of y'all have ever been driving somewhere and someone has a sign that says, we'll work for food? Or, I need a few dollars to get to San Antonio, or whatever it is, okay? One day, I was one of these people. Just a quick story. I'm not going to give them no money, because they're drug addicts. They're alcoholics. I'm not gonna give them money so they can go drink it off and smoke it up. The Lord convicted me that day. He did. He said, judge not, lest you be judged. If God put on my heart to give that person something, what they do with the money is on them. God will not withhold the blessing from you because what you do with your heart. Come on, somebody. I've heard a preacher say, oh, that money is cursed. You ever heard that? Oh, you can't give your good money to an infidel. Listen to me. You don't know what that person needs. So I've learned, if I have a couple dollars, I did the other day, I was coming home from work, I had like $5 in my wine. I never have cash, but I had $5, and there was a sign that says, going through some things, just hungry. So I rolled down the window, gave the guy $5 over above my house. Somewhere above my house on that Arkansas lane, there's just a lot of people always on that bridge, okay? So I had $5, I gave the guy $5. And I said, God bless you. I hope it all works out for you. In Jesus' name. He looked at me kind of funny. He goes, thank you. I needed that more than the money. Come on, somebody. So don't put a mask. Just be who you are. Someone said, the house of Bethesda means flowing water. Watch this. My first point. Jesus offers the option of healing. Look what he says, church. Look at the question, Vic. Read the question, Vic. It's a question. Do you want to be rich? Not about you, but I'm fine with it. No, I'm telling you. Let me ask you a question. How come it's okay for Jay-Z to have money? How come it's okay for Oprah to have money? How come it's okay for Trump to have money? But God's people is not supposed to have money? Come on. But we're in a society, and no offense to Anna, I understand, that's her, but I'm saying, if you go to the scriptures, it says, never have I seen the righteous forsaken or my seed begging for bread. We shouldn't be a church, and we shouldn't be the body of Christ looking around seeing if we can get a dollar to eat. It is your Father who takes care of his people. We got to change our mindset. Listen to me, church. The church, someone say the church, the body of Christ, has to change your mindset that there's nothing wrong with being blessed, because the more you're blessed, the more the kingdom gets. Come on, somebody. I just got an increase on my job. I went to one full-time. I got rid of 5 PRNs. Am I telling the truth, Ron? Ron got blessed in the process. Now he has every patient. But I went from 5 PRNs to 1 full-time and 1 PRN. I'm making more now than I was with 5. My tithes just went up. Starting next week, I'll get my first full-time check with my new company. My tithes are going up. Why? Because now I'm making more to give back to the kingdom. Come on, somebody. Yeah, watch this, okay? God is so good. Less work, glow, but more money. That's God. That's how he works.
I have a job one day a week in
That's right. And you give back to the Lord, right? That's right. But here's, watch this. This is, and I want you to understand. He's asking a question, do you want to be blessed? That's the question. Not giving to be blessed, but do you, but watch this. But yet, we'll have no problem. Watch this, church. We'll have no problem. Christmas just passed. Some folks go into debt. Come on, Eloise. Not you. But some people, right, would go into debt, right, Glow-Glow, to take care of them grandbabies, to have a wonderful Christmas, okay? But yet, we're wondering why we're struggling financially because we don't give what belongs to God. And he asked him, do you want to get what? See, it's just a question he's asking. Let's go through the, let's give me two people. Ron, do you want to, what? What do you want? What do you need? Do you want to? Okay. Do you want to have peace? Question mark. Elder Vic? Okay. Joshua, do you want to? Okay. Anna, do you want to? Benita, do you want to? All those things. See, the question is to the man. But the question to you is, what do you want him to do? It's not a matter of fact, can he do it? It's the fact, are you willing to do what you have to do to get there to get him to do it? Come on, somebody. Are you willing to give up some stuff to get what he wants you to get? Come on, somebody. I'm giving up this building and going to be temporarily probably in a set-up, tear-down church for a couple months because the payoff, come on, the payoff, we're going to put all that money away to be able to get into a new building to remodel a new building. Come on, somebody. So the question is not do you want to get well, it's what do you want to do with what he wants to give you. Look at this. Number two, read that. Whoever wants to read it. So here he asks the question, let's go back, do you want to get well? And the first thing the lame man is doing is explaining why he's not been made whole yet. Jesus didn't ask how come he's not whole. He asked a question, do you want to get well? See, sometimes we forget and we get ourselves in trouble with our mouth. Come on, somebody. Come on. So I had been waiting for 2 years to get full-time with Care Hospice. I had to, this is crazy, right, Ron? I had a full-time offer in Fort Worth, but I prayed about it. It didn't fit. Sometimes you just know when it's just not right, doesn't fit. So I'm like, okay, Lord, I need benefits, I need full-time, I need insurance, I need all that. And here's my opportunity. They were actually going to hire me full-time if I would have took it. I went and prayed. The Holy Spirit said, no. How crazy. So I still got to work to five jobs. All of a sudden, they hired this full-time chaplain. They come to me and they say, we're taking all your Grand Prairie patients and all your Mansfield patients. We're putting them in the Fort Worth office. So I went from 15 PRN patients down to zero. So not only did I not get to full-time, now I've lost more income. Lord, what is going on? But I heard him say, be still and know that I am God. Approximately a month later, I get a call from our other company in Weatherford. They said, hey, we're really growing on this brand. You're already with Care for 2 years. Would you consider coming on part-time and maybe in a couple of months we'll put you full-time? I was like, yeah, I don't have no patients now. And what's crazy is they put me back in Fort Worth where I was with the other company. Now we're literally on top of that other office. And not only did they give me full time, but they let me keep my hourly rate and full benefits. Come on, somebody. And now I get mileage on top of my hourly rate. Come on, somebody. I'm up to 52 patients. Come on, somebody. And so God is doing some stuff, but it's all on how you ask and how you want it. So he says, do you want to be made whole? And the layman, as most of us will do, we start making excuses of why we can't be made whole. It's not nothing to do with Jesus. It has to do with your commitment to the thing that he's called you to do. It's going to take some money, someone say money, resources, and a whole lot of help in about 2 weeks to clear this stuff out of here. Come on. And it's going to be a task, and it's going to be putting everything in storage and see where God's leading us and whatever. And some people might check out, but that's okay. Because when the lame man began to make excuses, Jesus, watch what he says. Jesus wasn't going to argue with them. Watch this. Jesus wasn't going to say anything. He basically said that we, watch this, church, and those online listeners, we get comfortable where we are because we're afraid to expand our commitment. Amen. Let me say it again. We get comfortable where we are because we're afraid to expand our commitment. Because the man said, if the man would have said, yes, I want to be made whole, Jesus would have said, then what are you waiting for? Now watch this. Jesus challenges, here it is, church, the norm or status quo by speaking to the man. Someone say, he is the what? The flowing waters of mercy. He is standing in the presence of the healer. Come on, somebody. He's standing in the presence of his healing. And sometimes, believe it or not, people will make excuses why they won't change because they really are afraid of change. To get out of their comfort zone. Jesus is challenging you today. Watch this. He's challenging you today. If you think you've arrived, you've not arrived. He's challenging you today to say, today is the day that I can speak change into your life. Watch this, church. And today is the day that I, Jesus, can change your situation. But you have to, here it is, church, you have to understand what is at stake. Okay? Another sports reference, but it's okay. Monday night is a national championship for college football. TCU was not even on the radar at the beginning of this football season. They actually predicted TCU with a new coach, with new personnel, to actually be last in the Big 12. I saw it on ESPN last night. TCU football, who is not a big college, is going up against a big college. They already did away with one of the Giants in Michigan, okay? And one of the TCU players, I got it, actually is from California. Lives across the street from the stadium, the running back. He's from California. And they interviewed him the other day, and they said, how good is it to be playing in national championships? He said, I didn't know about that. I just think it's great that I'm playing across from all my family. All my family's going to be watching. God set this young man up to go back home to play in front of his people. And one of the players is saying, they asked him, Max Duggan, the quarterback, he said, how do you feel about being on a national stage? He simply says this. He says, it's just another game to us. You see, that's the mindset you have to have. TCU would be successful if they don't focus on where they're at and just play their game. You will be successful in everything you do if you quit worrying about people's opinions. Amen. Quit worrying about what they might think of you. I'm learning that I ain't worried about when someone says, why, you know, Pastor Mike, why'd you change the name of church? Why are you closing it down? We're not closing the church down. We are transitioning. Someone say, just transition. Jesus will challenge us. Watch this, church. Jesus will challenge us to do some things to make us uncomfortable. Watch this. Because the things, watch this, church, because the place he's taken us is going to cause us to get out of our comfort zone. Watch this. He's taken us to a place that's going to cause us to be out of our comfort zone. You need to be motivated to get out of the norm. Someone say, get out of the norm. John 7:38. Read that, somebody. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow, some would say, rivers of living water. Out of his heart will flow rivers of what? Living water. I have a question for you this morning. Do you believe that God can do what he says he's going to do? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We have to focus on what we believe. We have a tendency to be negative and not think it's going to happen because we look at our circumstances instead of our God. It's a distraction. We have to be focused on the task at hand. Now watch this. This is an amazing thing. What's really crazy about this encounter, church, as we get to the last part of this, the craziest thing about this encounter was Jesus had no idea what was going to take place when he went to the pool. If we could put it in context, he wasn't even scheduled to heal nobody that day. He didn't have an appointment, church. He didn't look at his Rolodex and say, let's see, I got to heal the lame man today. And then I got to. Jesus flows in the Spirit. If we as a church are going to be successful, we need to flow in the Spirit. And church never closes. The door might close, but church never closes. When you're in the market, I can't believe I said market, grocery store. My friend says market. But when we're in the grocery store, that's your I tell you, when I get the new business card, y'all got to take 50 cards. When you're out there, just be a walking advertisement for the Living Waters Church. We will never grow this church by me, by myself. And don't be ashamed of who you serve. He who believes in me, look what he says, he who believes in me, if you believe that, let me tell you something, if you believe he got you through the pandemic, give him a praise right now, come on. But that same God that got you through the pandemic is the same God that's going to bring you to a new place in your life. Watch this. Someone say, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water. We have to be excited about God, what God wants to do. Okay? My final thought is this. Three reasons a layman could have stayed in his condition. Three reasons, okay, that he could have stayed in his condition. One, the waters have not been stirred. Surely if it isn't done a certain way, it can't be God. So he could have denounced the fact that this man, Jesus, wanted to heal him. He could have stayed another year if he wanted to. But there was something. Someone say there's something that God saw in him. I was just wondering what has been overlooked by you because you've been afraid to talk about who you are. The waters have not been stirred, but he didn't get in the waters to be healed. Watch this, church. He got healed in an uncommon way. Everybody else that day got healed by the angel of the Lord through the waters that was being stirred. But someone say, this man, God thought about him so much that God spoke verbally through Jesus and asked the question, do you want to be made whole? The number two reason he could not have been healed. He had no idea who Jesus was. He always been told God was a certain way. This guy didn't seem to fit the bill. Yeah, he went to the synagogue every day, Victor. said, this is God. And here God himself is standing in front of him, and he didn't even recognize who his father was. He had no idea it was Jesus was who he was. That's why I want you to understand, when the enemy tells you don't do, let me tell you something I've learned. When the enemy is telling you not to do it so much, that means God's trying to get you a blessing. Come on, somebody. If the enemy is attacking you so much not to do it, that means God must have something on his way for you. Come on, somebody. If the enemy is fighting you this much not to do something, that means God has something for you. He had no idea who Jesus was. He asked a question. The man asked a question. Jesus asked a question. Do you want to be made whole? And of course, he's been taught. Watch this, church. He's been taught not to speak up. Let me tell you something. You better learn to open up your mouth and tell God what you want and what you need. Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want. Come on. You remember the old song? Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want. We as a church and a body of Christ, there's nothing God will not withhold without you unless you're not doing right for him. He had no idea who Jesus was. He had always been told God was a certain way. And someone say, this guy didn't fit the bill. This can't be God. And of course, number three, it was the Sabbath. And he can get in trouble for carrying his mat. In the religious world, traditions trumps life. Now watch this. Yes. Because it's a day of rest. The Sabbath, there's not supposed to be no healing. Because the church tells you, today is not the day for your healing. Today is a somber day. Today is a day that we reverence God Almighty. Church, in the religious world, tradition trumps life. Jesus was about everything contrary to the church. If we're going to be successful at the Living Waters Church, we don't need to look like a church. We need to be the church. We need to go to the highways and the byways and minister to those who don't look like us, who don't talk like us, who don't act like us. It might be that person on the corner. Could I just have $5 to get something to eat? Quit thinking small. Let me tell you this before we close. There's no successful person in this world. One of the loveliest and greatest shows I watch is what's that show we watch, Josh? Talks about Dunkin' Donuts, or what's the show called that we watch? Tells them how they started. What's it called? No, about how businesses start. How they were built, okay? The food that built America. Does anybody know how Arby's started? Arby's, roast beef sandwich.
It wanted to make something different
from They decided, back in those days, hamburgers were big. Well, these two brothers who sold restaurant equipment, I watched this episode, who sold restaurant equipment, had said, hey, what if we take some roast beef, slice it thin, put it between two bread, and call it a roast beef sandwich? Two bread and put it on roast beef, sliced roast beef thin, put it on bread, and they called it a roast beef sandwich. Nobody had ever done it up to this point. Burgers were the thing. Well, these guys stepped out of the norm. Watch this, church. Stepped out of the norm and created Arby's roast beef sandwich. I don't know if there's anybody that doesn't know who Arby's is today. Okay? All right? You can talk about Winchell's Donuts. You can talk about Dunkin'. All these businesses started by stepping out of the norm. And along the way, church, even with this church, there's going to be times where it looks like it's not going to happen. There's going to be times like, man, Pastor Mike is crazy. How does he think we're going to do that? I don't need you to think that I'm crazy. I need you to walk crazy with me. Someone say crazy faith. Crazy faith is doing something when nobody else tells you to do it. Someone say, I need some crazy faith. It was the Sabbath, and he could get in trouble for carrying his mat. In the religious world, tradition trumps life. In other words, he did something not of the norm. If we're ever going to be successful in life, watch this, church. Someone say we have to do something out of the norm. My final thought is, I didn't put it up there, but I just wrote a little note this morning because I was thinking about it when I was back at the board this morning. How long will it take you to realize how much you missed because you didn't act? Let me say it again. How long will it take you to realize how much you missed because you didn't act? How long? How long? Do you know that he could do it? Can he do it right now? Can he do it tomorrow? Can he do it next week? I don't know. I'm just going to tell you transparently, those online in church, I don't know if we'll be here next week. Watch the website. I don't know. I didn't say the church was closing. We may not be here, but we'll still be open somewhere. That's my faith. Sometimes doors close, not because something is wrong. Sometimes doors close because we're so focused on the one that's open behind us that we don't see where God is taking us. I need you to quit looking back and start looking forward. You have not because you ask not, and you ask amiss. There's been something that's been approached to me, an option to downsize this room and get rid of the other room and go to a smaller room here in the facility, and it'd be probably half this size. It would be much smaller, but yet we would have to pay some extra for the months or whatever. And I prayed about it, and I talked with Elder Vic about it, and I talked with Elder Ron about it, and they both said the same thing. They said, Pastor, it's time to leave this building. Amen, Vic. If we're ever going to have a new identity, we can't keep ourselves attached to something that God closed. Come on, somebody. I mean, we made this move to change the name of the church and the website and everything, and I'm not doing this thing halfway. Someone say, if we have to be uncomfortable for a couple of months, and someone say, where are we going, Pastor Mike? Well, I'm entering into a contract probably by tomorrow or the next day with Movie 16 in Grand Prairie. It'll be our temporary home for a couple months, or as long as until the other building gets ready. We'll go back to setting up and tearing down, which means, how long does it take us to set up with the traveling equipment? 20, 30 minutes. So we'll go back to setting up. But we're going to be in a facility, probably a 150-seat room theater. We'll have to set our own equipment up, Victor. So church starts at 10:30. We're going to have to get there about 8:45, 9 o'clock to set up. Can we do that for a couple of months? Huh? But the money we're going to save for our new building? Come on. That doesn't mean quit giving. Oh, we don't have to give. There ain't no building no more. No, 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 no. We have a major remodel, don't we, Vic, to do. And I almost told these people, I said, okay, well, but I prayed about it. I was like, we're just throwing money into a building that we're not going to stay in. So I don't know how soon. I don't know if we'll be here next week. I don't know. But I do know one thing. We're going to get out of here in the next couple of weeks. And we're going to go virtual. Virtual meaning we'll be at Movie 16. If all goes well. And if that doesn't go well, guess what? Then we'll take the equipment to someone's house. We'll do virtual church until God lays it somewhere. But someone say, it doesn't mean the church is over. We're just in a transition. Hey, Living Waters Church. Yeah, Lord. Do you want it? Hey, Living Waters Church. I can't hear you. Do you want it? But I need you not to hold to the traditions of the past. Come on, somebody. What I need you to do is know that I have showed up. Come on, church. Tell him right now. Say, he showed up. And he's bringing some help. Will we do what he's called us to do? And out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Father, right now we need you. Father, we need you right now more than ever. We need to lift up Anita this morning. We need to pray for Anita and her healing in her body right now, God. We bind and rebuke sickness over her body right now. We say no weapon formed against her shall prosper. We speak life into her body right now. And we say that, God, you're going to heal her right where she is. God, we pray for Dawn right now. We pray for Dawn and her situation right now. We lift up those grandbabies to you right now, God. Wherever they're at in Tennessee, we lift that situation up. We speak life over that situation. We say that no weapon formed against them shall prosper. We speak restoration in the name of Jesus. You said without faith, it's impossible to please you. For he that comes to God must believe that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. God, we speak healing over that situation right now. God, we don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. God, we're not letting go, but we're pressing on to the place you have us to be. For all these years, to me, God, you've been so faithful. This is not the first time. You have always been faithful to restore. I sense in my spirit there's someone online right now. If you've had doubt this morning, if you're struggling with depression, if you're struggling with not knowing what's going to happen, I want to bind that in the name of Jesus right now. And I want to tell you that Jesus has showed up to heal you right where you're at. Father, we thank you right now. We thank you right now, God. We thank you right now in the name of Jesus that you're changing things right now. In the name of Jesus. We pray for Kara right now. Thank you. If you have a name, just call it out. We pray for Kara right now, God. We thank you. We thank you. We pray for her mind right now. We bind up that spirit of depression right now. We speak life over her mind right now. We pray for your healing power over her right now. Right now, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Right now, we pray for Jessica. Right now, in the name of Jesus, God. We pray for Jessica right now. We call her out. We call her out. We call her out. We call her out of the darkness into the light. Come on, Lord. We call her forth in Jesus' name. We call her forth in Jesus' name. Any wayward children for members of this church, any one of these parents that are here that have wayward children that need children to come, my God, we can grow the church just by the children of all y'all have. We would double in size if we get those kids in this church. Father, we call them out right now. We speak them into existence right now. For your word says you have not because you ask not. And when you ask amiss. I thank you right now, God. I thank you right now, God. I thank you right now, God. Hallelujah. Thank you. Father, I pray for my son this morning, Josh. I pray that you open, I'm glad that you opened another door for him. He's learning a trade. He's going to out of town here in a couple of weeks to be a more of a biomedical tech. And I thank you for his focus. The enemy tried to take his mind, but God brought him back. Come on, somebody. We thank you. Josh is being healed right now. If you believe it, say amen. Come on, church. If you believe it, look how God restored. Come on, somebody. I thank you for my son, Josh. I pray for my daughter, Ashley. Pray for my granddaughter, Jordan. I pray for my other children, Jennifer, Eddie, Gina. I pray for all of them this morning. I pray for everybody in my life. I pray in the name of Jesus, God. God, help us not to be focused on stuff that doesn't matter. Help us to be focused on you. Jesus said, do you want to be made whole? It wasn't the fact that he couldn't do it. He's asking us this morning, do we want it? Church, do you want it? It's there for the taking. Do you want it? Do you want it? Do you know that he can do it? Do you know that he can do it, church? If you know he can do it, I want you to stand up to your feet this morning. If you know that he can do it, as we close, before Elder Ron dismisses us, he's going to have a devotional. We're going to start doing this. This is something the Lord's leading us. I want you to share every Sunday. How many of y'all feel really good today? How many feel like that God showed up this morning? Can we just have a shout and a praise? Tell him, thank you, Jesus. Listen to me. If you're looking for a home church and you want to start a journey with a new church, go to tlwclife.org and we'll let you know where we're at. We might be here next Sunday. We don't know, right, Ron? We'll see. But I want to say I love y'all. I appreciate y'all. And how many excited about the Living Waters Church? How many are excited about that? We love y'all. God bless. Let's bring y'all to Ron and he'll close us out this morning.